Let us now turn to the Word of God for our instruction. We turn to the Gospel of John and the chapter 8. John chapter 8. This is the Word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear His Word. The Lord, truly give us ears to hear and hearts to receive His Word. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have cause, that they might accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard from him, of him. They understood not what he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honour my Father, and ye do dishonour me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honour myself, my honour is nothing. It is my Father that honoureth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar, like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Amen. So reads God's holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word, and may the Lord be pleased to bless that public reading of his precious word, all to the glory of his name and to the good of our needful and never dying souls. Well, dear congregation, I turn your prayerful attention once again to the Gospel of John, the chapter that I read to you in your hearing, and the Lord enabling me this evening, I take for my text the words of the Lord Jesus Christ found in the verse 36, the verse 36 of John chapter 8. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now, I'm sure that many of us have heard these words quoted by people. Certainly, you've read them in the Scriptures. You're familiar to them. But what do they really mean? What do we understand by what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here? Did the Jews understand him? No, they didn't understand what he was saying. It's very clear from this passage that they hadn't got a clue what he was saying, what he meant by this. And even when he went on to explain what it meant, they refused to believe. Their hearts were hardened. And again today, people don't understand. Even some people would call themselves Christians, don't really understand these words, sadly. Let me just say, friends, this is a truth that we cannot afford to get wrong. There are many things in life that are not absolutely necessary for us. For instance, it's not necessary for you to know the theory of Einstein's theory of relativity. It doesn't really matter. It's not life or death to you. It doesn't matter whether you know how black and white cows can eat green grass and produce white milk. That's not life-changing. These are eternal things, things of eternal consequences, solemn things. This truth is so very important. It is so profound because if we get it wrong, it implies certain things about us. It implies certain things about our souls. That we're lost, that we're without any hope, we've never really understood the gospel, that we're not saved. These are very simple things, and yet they are very profound. It's life-changing. The meaning of this verse, it's life-changing. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But it has eternal, it has everlasting consequences. Do we really understand? Do we know by experience this verse? You see, it's a verse not just that we know and we understand the meaning of it, but we understand it by experience. We've experienced it. You notice in the verse 33, first of all, that the Jews thought he was talking about slavery. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. They answered him, verse 33, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? They thought he was talking about slavery. But actually, they were wrong in what they said. They were wrong about slavery. They had been slaves for over 430 years. They were slaves in Egypt, weren't they? They were under subjugation now also of Rome. They were under the authority of Rome. But they say, but we've never been slaves. We are Jews. Now, their response proves that they are living proof that they are slaves. What are they slaves to? Slaves to pride. The Jews didn't ever want to be thought of as being slaves. We're not slaves. They are the living epitome of what the Lord Jesus Christ is really getting at. Notice the verse 34. He who sins is a slave of sin. That's what he's getting at. Their response, you see, proved that they were the kind of slaves that he is talking about here. Sinners. Sinners in their pride. This is all of us, friends, by nature. Jesus answered them, verse 34, verily, verily, I say unto you, literally, amen and amen. I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, or a slave of sin. That's essentially what he's getting at. Now, before we come to the verse 36 this evening, let's just look back at the verse 31 there. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. It's interesting, isn't it? Here are the people that actually believed on him. It doesn't mean to say they were actually saved. because these people rejected him. Striking, isn't it? He says to them, if you continue in my word, yes, they began to follow him, but remember when you get to John 6, many did not continue. John chapter 6, they didn't continue. Many were not his disciples. They were his disciples no more. Many abandoned him. He says, but if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples. In other words, there's the proof of it. If you can stomach the things that I'm going to teach, if you can digest these things, if you can take them in, if you are humble, indeed you are my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So firstly, the word, verse 31, if you continue in my word, and then it's the truth in the verse 32, the truth shall make you free, and then you come down to the verse 36, it's the Son that shall make you free. So these three things, of course, the word and the truth are one and the same. And so is the Son, one and the same. He is the eternal Logos, he is the eternal word. He is the word of God, he is the word that was manifest. And the word became flesh, as John tells us. John chapter 1, verse 14, and the word was made flesh. Now really what he is getting at here, it's very clear in the verse 34, man by nature is a slave to sin. Enslaved in the heart, enslaved in the mind, and that's what we want to speak about this evening. This is us by nature, friends. But the Word of God, firstly, the verse 31, begins to make people free. We read there, then said Jesus to these Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, or in my teaching, the things that I teach, then you are my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now let's just think about the word for a moment. Christ is the, what we call, the eternal Logos, the eternal word. In fact, you know, it's one of the reasons I don't like these red letter Bibles, because actually it's all the word of God, isn't it? Not just certain aspects. All of God's word is God speaking. Through the prophets, we know, don't we, from our studies recently in Hebrews 1, the verse 1, God spake in times past by the prophets to the fathers, but in these last days has spoken by his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're reminded there by whom he made the worlds also. Christ has spoken. And how thankful we are that God has spoken. Think of the alternative. If God hadn't spoken, and hasn't spoken into this world, we'd be left in darkness. We thank the Lord, don't we, for his word. What a terrible thing if God had left this world without any word, without anything. We're so thankful for our Bibles. We're so thankful for the truth as we begin to open up the word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When we come to the word of God, it speaks truth. It tells us how this world came into its existence. It tells us how everything was made beautiful and perfect. And God said it was good. And then God spoke to our first parents, Adam and Eve. He walked with them, talked with them in the garden. There was the Lord Jesus Christ with Adam and Eve, our parents, in the garden. Imagine that, before the fall, God communicated with his people and spoke to them and told them wonderful things. One can only imagine the conversation that God had with perfect man. The bliss, the sublime joy that Adam had as the Father and Son and Holy Spirit looked at Adam. They could say, this is my well-beloved Adam. Yes, God was pleased with Adam. But then there was the fall, wasn't there? And God continued to speak even after the fall. God spoke at the fall. Genesis 3:15, he promised that he would send the seed of the woman, the word, into this world. Even after Adam and Eve began to run away and hide themselves, God spoke to them and continued to speak for millennia. And then he spake by the prophets to the fathers. God has always spoken into this world. And in these last days he has spoken by his Son, Jesus Christ. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last times spoken unto us by his Son, who he has appointed heir of all things. And we thank the Lord that he spoke through his Son in these last times, and we have the gospel here. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. And now he's speaking, now he's walking amongst men. And God had been speaking to the Jews for millennia, for thousands of years. But look at them, they're still darkened in their unbelief. And let me say first thing this evening, that time cannot take away the blindness of one's heart. Millennia cannot take away the blindness and the hardness of people's hearts. It can't. Man's born hardened and enslaved to a depraved mind. That's how he is by nature. And he refused to hear God's word. Time doesn't open up truth to us. Only grace does. Only whom the Son sets free. Only who the truth and can communicate the truth. What did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He has to give truth. He has to impart it. God has spoken by general revelation, but there is special revelation, isn't there? Whereby he communicates the gospel to you, friend. Well, there are many people that say, well, what is the Bible? What is it? It's just a book. It's a dead book, they say. I've read it, they say, people say. They've hardly read it. Many people criticize the Bible, and I often say this, but they've hardly read it. And they're full of bias, they're full of prejudice when they read the Word of God. That's how often people begin. They begin with a prejudice from the world, something that they've been taught. They're a slave to this world. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ is getting at. You're a slave. But friends, this is the Word of God. And it's the truth. It tells us everything that we need to know in this life. Past, present, and future. What is going to happen in the future. It's all found in the Word of God. Aren't we so thankful for the Word of God? It tells us the past. It tells us what happened to this world. It tells us what has happened over the last thousands of years. Not millions and billions of years, as the scientists like to tell you. And they keep telling us that the science is changing. I was listening to something the other day about carbon dating. It's a load of nonsense. The dates are constantly changing. Science means truth. Truth can't change. It's men. They're enslaved to a mind that is against God. That's the natural heart of people. That's natural man. And you think of the alternative without God's word. What's man left to? Well, he's in the dark. God hasn't spoken then, and he's left to chance. We just came here by accident. That's how man wants to think. But what a darkness that is. To think this is all you are. A creature of time. And you're no more than the muck and the mire out there in the field. That's all you are. You're just a few cells put together. You're not fearfully and wonderfully made. Friends, we have the ability and capacity to know the truths of God's word. And that's a blessed thing. To reason and to rationalize. And God reveals himself. He reveals his character. He reveals his love to this world. In the Lord Jesus, who is the truth, who has come. A God who loves truth and righteousness and who hates sin. A God of mercy. Well, we've got to understand the truth. And it's all in the Bible, isn't it? The truth is we're separated from God. That's really how the Bible puts us. Our iniquities have made a separation between us and our God, that he will not hear us. Isaiah says, it's caused the separation. That's what Adam's sin did. And we are told we sinned in Adam. You would say, well, that doesn't seem right. I wasn't there. Well, friends, you are born a sinner. And you're from Adam. And you sin just like Adam. And you have a will and a heart and a mind against Adam. But you know the truth shall make you free. The truth of God's word. What does it do? It reveals the truth. The Bible's not a book of myths. The Bible is not foolish notions. But this world, it's enslaved to foolish notions. And they're all being exposed one by one. You know, one of the myths is that man imagines or at least he likes to imagine that he's good. That's one of the myths of this world, isn't it? Well, we imagine we're good. There's something good in us. There's something virtuous. But the Bible says no. Paul says, there is no good thing that dwelleth in me. There's the great apostle Paul. And you know, the Bible is like a mirror. It shows us exactly what we're like. It exposes the truth of ourselves, doesn't it, to ourselves. It's like a mirror. It shows you what you are. You're a great sinner. You're unclean before God. I thank the Lord. It shows me the truth about myself. But it also shows me the truth about God. That he is holy. That he is perfect. And that one day I will have to stand before a holy God. And that my only hope is his mercy. That's my only hope. His mercy that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. These Jews, you see, you can see them. Oh, we were never in bondage. The pride is just oozing out of them. This is the foolishness of men. They deny the past. And this is what we're like. You know, people deny what's happened to them in their lives. Or that, I didn't do that. If I did do that, well, I didn't really mean it. Well, why did you do it? You did it because you're a sinner and you're full of sin. Some people imagine also, this is one of the foolish notions and the way in which a sinner is bound. He's a slave to this. He thinks that he is capable of earning God's favor. Of course we're not. But he's actually a slave to that. He thinks that he can earn favor with God. He thinks that he can earn his way to heaven. That's how the Jews thought. That's how people think today. People today are no different to the Jews. That's how they were. But friends, what does the Bible say? The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why you die. That's what the Bible says. That's why you die. Why do we die? People in this world say, well, we die because if there is a God, he's not very kind. He's not very loving. Well, he warned our parents. Adam, in the day that thou sinned, thou shalt surely die. But also notice what the Lord Jesus says in the verse 24 there. If ye believe not that I'm he, that is the Son of God. This is what they couldn't stand. Ye shall die in your sins. That is to be a person that dies without forgiveness of our sins. You're going to be dead forever, lost, without any hope in your sins, of course. You know, there is the second death. There is the first death by which we experience in our bodies. The body and the soul separated together, but there is the second death, where both body and soul shall be cast into hellfire. And this is what the Lord Jesus is saying, if ye believe not that I am he that is the Messiah, the sent one of God, you will die in your sins. That's the truth. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I am God's promised Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the servant of Jehovah. You know that chapter in Isaiah 42. Behold, my servant, in whom my soul delighteth. This is the one. He shall bring forth judgment, justice. He brings in a righteousness for sinners. And without that, there's no hope for the sinner. Here he is, when he says, if ye believe not that I am he, and he is making himself one with the Father, that's why they're trying to stone him. He is claiming, isn't he, the divine essence. He is claiming to be very God. God who is manifest in the flesh. Friends, this is the way of salvation. God would come in time, space, and history and would take to himself our nature, flesh, and live under his own law. And that by that righteous life and that obedience of his, he would give to his people his own righteousness under the law. And that also he would die in their stead at Calvary. He would suffer the just for the unjust. And you see, this is really what Christianity is teaching. That God saves. Other religions say, you save yourself. And you could earn points with God, you could earn favour with God, but not so. He says, if ye believe not that I'm he, you're going to die in your sins and you'll be lost forever. There's no hope, no religion will save you. No man, no boy, no girl, no woman, no man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm the way, the truth and the life. He's making all of this very clear. Heaven is only entered through God's Son. I am the door. If any man enter therein by, he may be saved. This is what he's saying. God is saying he came into the world to save sinners. That's what the Apostle Paul said. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's amazing, isn't it, that God was manifest in the flesh. It's amazing that God has spoken. Don't we thank the Lord for the truth? And the Word became flesh. The truth shall make you free. And the Word shall make you free. And then he says, the Son shall make you free. I am the Son. I am the very Son of God. Just as the truth will make you free. All these things he's saying are speaking of me. I am the Word, the truth, and the Son of God. And therefore, verse 36, therefore if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now, what did they understand about being free? At this point, not a clue, friends. They're saying, Abraham's our father. We were never slaves. Well, they've just proven the fact that they have a problem. They're slaves to pride. They willfully ignore these truths. We were never in slavery to any people. But what about even now? What, you know, the Jews really loathed what was happening to them at this point. Well, he's not talking about literal human slavery, but this is slavery to sin. This is the real issue here. They were not only wrong about history, but it proves the condition of their souls. Now, friends, they should have known the teaching of Psalm 91, the verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler. God will deliver his people from the snare of the fowler. Now, what is the psalmist by the Spirit getting at? Well, the great fowler is the devil himself. You know what a fowler is? Somebody that catches birds. And he'll use decoys. He'll use all manner of things to trick and to deceive. And that is exactly what the devil has done. Did he not deceive our first parents, Adam and Eve? There he is, the fowler, right there in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, promising them many things. You know, if you're a fowler, you put little decoys under a cage and you put a string and you pull the string until the birds are caught there. And that, well, the bird, he's imprisoned and he can't get out. But there's, you notice the Psalm 91, the verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he, that is God, shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler. You see, many are slaves to sin, and if you're a slave to sin, you have been blinded by the evil one. Paul tells us this, doesn't he, in the New Testament, that he has blinded the minds of them that believe not. The devil is the great fowler, friends. Psalm 124, the verse 7, our soul is escaped as a bird. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. That's it. That's the believer. He's been set free. His mind has been illuminated by the truth. Satan is the great fowler. He is the one who deceives people. He blinds people in thinking that they're free. We're free! But even they thinking that well, their hearts are not bound to anything. And this is how people are in this world. They think their hearts are free. I'm a free person, people say. Well, if you're a slave, you're dominated by sin. That's really what he's getting at here. You're a dominated person. That's really how the world is. The world is dominated by sin. And people may be able to hold down sin a little bit, but ultimately their lives are dominated by sin. It no longer has a dominion over us as believers, but if you're unsaved, you're a slave. He who sins, notice the verse 34, he who sins is a slave to sin. You're driven by it. That's what drives people today, doesn't it, in the world? You think you're free, but actually you're very restricted. You do what pleases your friends and what is going to bring you popularity and all sorts of things. You're limited. You think of a slave. He can do certain things, but he's very restricted. He's restricted by the nature of the fact that he's a slave. He answers to the boss. The boss, who is like, you can imagine, the fowler. He's got the bird in the cage there, and the bird thinks it can't fly. And it thinks, because there's a whole lot of other birds in the cage there, well, it's pretty safe. But the fowler's going to destroy the bird. And that's what Satan's design is to destroy souls. He is called Diablos, the destroyer. And this is what he does. Let me tell you how you're limited. Well, you're a slave to sin. He who sins is a slave to sin. When sin says, give me your eyes, you say, here are my eyes, let me sin. Take my eyes. Take my hands, take my feet. And you become a slave to sin. You're in the grip of sin. This is really what we're talking about here. And this is your life. You can't break free. You might struggle and wrestle, and you might keep certain sins down, hold them down, but ultimately you don't have control over them. You see, without salvation, without the sun setting people free, they're under the dominion of sin, and there's no communion with God. There's no peace with God. Your sins have made a separation between you and God. And in fact, deep in your heart, you're saying God is off limits. You know, my family doesn't allow it too much. You can go to church, but just not too much. You know, don't be too serious about this Christianity thing and following Christ. You know, you can have a bit of religion, but you cannot say God owns you now. No. And another thing is, if that's true, you don't have joy. You can't say, I'm God's, my beloved is mine, and I am his. You can't say that. You can say you know God at a distance, but you're limited. You can't be close to him. And what's more, there's no spiritual light. There's no light in your life. You don't understand. Without Christ, without the Word, you can't understand this world. You can't understand God's plan and his purposes for this world. You're in darkness. You're left to the alternative of this world. You see, you are left to the world's point of view if you are without Christ. It's like those many people, and maybe this analogy will help. We think of people who live perhaps in China or North Korea. And you know, internet is really limited there. And the media shut everything up. Well, there's no true news reporting. And so it's like you're living in this faraway land. You're locked away. And this is your natural mind. You resist the things of God. You're a slave to listening to the propaganda of the world. You're a slave to your own heart. Well, that's how you are. And really, without God, what's worse is you're at the mercy of mere chance. Well, if there is no God, what is there? It's all chance, isn't it? And even science. But science is changing. You know, they keep saying, well, the science is changing. Things are changing. Truths are changing. Well, they're not changing. Some people say, I want to escape from God. But they really can't escape, because in their conscience, they know God is. Because the things of God are manifest to them by the things that are made. The earth is screaming, God is. Your body is screaming, God is. Everything is screaming, God is. But you say, I'll be a rebel. I'll be free. But you're never free. You're a slave. You're a slave to self. Yes. Here's an analogy. I'm just thinking. There's a man many years ago. I was a young deacon in this church, probably 25, years ago. And, well, this young man, he attended the services here, but he was actually a prisoner. And he would come along, and he was serving a long period of time, but he was actually in sort of open prison. So he'd come out for a certain time, and then he'd have to go back. And he was finding that difficult. But he was still a prisoner. And one time he phoned up the pastor, and then the pastor, of course, phoned me up. This is a long time ago, and I shall not mention any names, but I think the analogy is helpful. And he phoned up and he said, "You know, I'm free. I've escaped. I've decided not to go back to the prison." And, well, this went on for a number of weeks, and we kept saying to him, "You've got to go back." He had come to some services. He said to him, "You know, if you say you're a Christian, you say you're born again, you need to serve the time. You need to go back to the prison." He said, "Well, no, I've decided to be free." But those weeks that he was away, and in fact months that he was away from the prison, was the worst time of his life. The worst time. Because he couldn't go anywhere. He was constantly being concerned about if he was going to be caught. He couldn't visit his family. He couldn't even come to church. He couldn't do anything. Although he wanted to be free, he was not free. It was a terrible time in his life. So eventually he did go back, and he was, of course, in trouble for that. But during this time he was confined to a terrible life. Miserable. But that's really how it is. I only say these things, friends, because many people try to run away from God. And that's really how it's like. You're running away from the truth. You're running away from reality. You are, as that man, guilty before Almighty God. And you shall have to give an account. You may try to run away, but soon you will have to give an account. One day you will have to stand before the presence of the Lord. And you will have to give an account. And what shall become of you? Your sin shall find you out. Just like the sin of that young man, it found him out and he had to answer to it. You can try to run away, but it's not going to change reality, is it? Reality is you are a sinner. It's in vain. You may even try to shut God out of your mind, but the word of God is screaming at you. There is a God. There's a day of judgment. You are a sinner. We don't like it. The Jews didn't like what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say to them. They couldn't stand it. That's why they wanted to pick stones up and throw at him. He says, "You're a slave. He who sins is a slave to sin." And friends, this is all of us by nature, isn't it? We sin, and even as Christians, but that dominion has been broken because the Son has set us free. And he has come to live, as we thought this morning, in our studies through the book of Joshua, he's come to live and abide in our hearts to break the power of cancelled sin. If Christ has died for us, he will break the power of cancelled sin in our lives. But first of all, what does he do? He frees us from the condemnation of sin. That's the first thing Christ does. And he did it for all of his people there at Calvary. All that believe upon Christ, what did he do? He died for their sin, so that now they're not under the condemning power of sin. They're not, secondly, under the terrors of the law. The terrors of the law with me can have nothing to do, as Top Lady says in his hymn. Nothing to do with me, because Christ died for me. But when he comes to live in our hearts, what does he do? He gives us a new heart that hates sin and loves righteousness. And we see our only hope is in him. What does he do? He pardons the sinner. He sets the prisoner free. But what a great price to set sinners free. What was the price? Well, the Jews should have known the price. What was the price to set them free from Egypt? You tell me. It was the Lamb, wasn't it? It was the Lamb that set them free. What did God say? "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And friends, when God sees the blood applied to his people, when they receive Christ by faith, they have assurance in their hearts that there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. They're free from the condemning power of the law. And now, as a result, well, the righteousness of the law is now fulfilled in them. They're free. They want to please the Lord who died for them. Why? Because His Spirit lives in them. That's the Christian, friends. Nothing less, nothing more. Christ now lives in them. The Son has set them free. Has Christ set you free? Well, I tell you what, you've got to begin where the Bible tells us to begin. Repent of your sins. That is, turn from them. As the Lord opened your eyes to see that you're a slave to sin and that you're shackled to it and that you need to be loosed, and only, notice the text there, if the Son sets you free. If. And I want people always to leave these services seeking God for mercy, because it is only on account of mercy. He doesn't set everybody free. But if you've begun to see these things, and you've begun to see that you're shackled to your sin, that you've tried as hard as you can to be a good boy, a good girl, and all these things, that you can't do it, you have begun to see that you are shackled and you're a slave to sin, and you need to sue to God for mercy to set you free. That's what you need. And that's what every sinner needs to feel, is your need for Christ. Your only need is to see your need of Him. That's the great need. Or are you like these people that say, I'm not really a slave. I'm okay. I'm not a slave to sin. My friend, what did He say to those in John chapter 9. Because they said they had no sin, they were blind. They were blind as the blind man. If you don't see your sin, you're blind. It doesn't take much to see sin, does it? You look in your own heart and you examine your heart. And you go home and ask God to search you and to try you. Sin is obviously there. Look at the world, it's dying. It's a world of sin. But the Son has come into this world to set prisoners free. And only He can do it. And He does it in a moment, in an instant, by His Spirit. He quickens sinners, He converts them. You begin to pray, you begin to cry out to God, set me free, Lord. Change me, turn me, save me and I shall be saved. That's the cry of God's people. If the Son will set you free, you'll be free indeed. And you know what? He'll give you a heart to serve Him. And you become slaves of righteousness. Yes, that's the Christian life, isn't it? You begin to serve Him, to love Him. And you know, we say as Christians, our love is poor. It's weak, it's faint. It's not what it ought to be. But Lord, Thou knowest that I love Thee. He's not asking for perfection in our lives, but he asks whether we love Him. And we love Him because we know He first loved us. That's your assurance. Do you love Christ? You see, these people didn't love Christ. They hated Him because He spoke the truth. You remember what the Lord Jesus said? Blessed is he who is not offended in me. Are you offended in Christ, friend? Does the truth offend you? Well, we can only be set free. Just as the people were delivered from Egypt, what were they? They were idolaters in Egypt. They worshipped the Egyptian gods. They were guilty of all manner of sin, weren't they? But they were freed by the blood of the Lamb. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? All these things pointing to the One who would come into the world. And best of all, He gives power over sin in the life. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The psalmist says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Are you a slave of sin and a slave of Satan? Well, if you have a pattern, a lifestyle of sin, it is sure. Just as he said here to the Jews, your father is the devil. It's not flattering to hear that, but it's the reality, isn't it? Are we born of God? Are we a child of God? Has the Son set you free? Well, thank the Lord, He translates sinners out of the kingdom of darkness and brings them into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's amazing, isn't it? That God should have mercy on rebels. People that were there crying, crucify Him. Crucify Him. And the next minute they're crying, what must we do? And Peter said, repent. Believe and be baptized. That's the answer, isn't it? Believing upon the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, friends. You know, there are many people that come along to church, and I often say to them, come along to the evening gospel service. And they say, well, I'll have a think about that. There's nothing to think about. It's the Lord's day, isn't it? Why wouldn't you want to be here? Why wouldn't you want to come along and hear the word? Why wouldn't you want to hear about, well, you're enslaved to this world. Sunday's not for the Lord, for you. You keep it for yourself. Now we are Christ's, we're bought at a price, and we are slaves of Him. And I thank God that by Jesus Christ, many have become servants of God. Even children of God, we're told, to serve Him who set us free from the condemnation of sin, from the power of the law that it had over us, and from everlasting destruction, and to bring us into His everlasting glory through His dear Son, whom He sets free. He said, if ye believe not that I'm He, you will die in your sins. It's terrible to die in your sins. People think it's terrible to die in some terrible illness like cancer and all. Of course. But there's nothing worse, friends, than to die in your sins. And to die without forgiveness and peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Friend, only Christ can set you free. Only the Lord Jesus. Go to Him as a sinner. And you cry out to Him in all of your sin. And you seek the Lord. And you remember, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Free forever. Free to serve Him. It's all the free grace of God in our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be a captive to this world. Don't be a prisoner. People are duped by this world and all sorts of things. But God has opened our eyes to see the truth and the reality of matters. Satan has blinded men about sin. And the fool has now said in his heart, there is no God, but there is a God. And He came in the person of Jesus Christ. Don't believe the father of lies, but believe the Son of truth, who comes with healing in His wings to give new hearts and new minds and to set prisoners free. A trap is a cruel thing, isn't it? Think of birds in a trap. But think of sinners now in a trap. And Satan there, he's laughing. But this whole world. But the Son sets free. Free from the fowler's trap. May the Lord set sinners free tonight by His dear Son through the preaching of His word. By the power of His Holy Spirit. Amen.